This November, I'm going back to Italy, leading a food tour there, and I want to brush up on my Italian. And for that, I'm turning to Rosetta Stone. It's the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. And for a very limited time, Sporkful listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/sporkful. That's half off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/sporkful today.
Hot chicken has always been the secret of Nashville. This is where it started, with the Prince family.
In the last 15 years, Nashville hot chicken has become a hot trend. Even KFC added it to the menu. But for decades before that, hot chicken was well known among Nashville's black community and some white folks. Originally, there was only one place you could get it. The place where it was invented. Prince's.
This is my favorite place to eat. Last week I was in West Tennessee and I was fiending for Prince's chicken. So I had to come Tuesday when they opened up. Now I'm back on Saturday.
What does it mean to come here with your son?
Building a family culture and a tradition.
Today, Prince's is a community institution and a popular spot for tourists and celebrities. How does Beyonce like her chicken?
Ma'am.
Oh. Well, she's got hot sauce in her bag, though.
Yeah. The Louisiana hot sauce. Yes.
The hot chicken boom has been great for Prince's, but lots of well-funded, white-owned places have also sprung up to capitalize on the trend, and they've grown very quickly. So as hot chicken becomes big business, are the people who invented it getting what they deserve? This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. The hot chicken origin story is apocryphal, but it goes like this. Thornton Prince was a philanderer. One night, way back in the 30s, after being out all night, he came home to his girlfriend. She was fed up with his womanizing and his partying. So when she made his beloved fried chicken for breakfast, she covered it in the hottest hot sauce she could put together. She wanted him to suffer. But instead, he loved it. He asked for more. Soon after, she left him. But Prince couldn't get that chicken out of his head. He worked to recreate the recipe and in 1945 opened a place called Barbecue Chicken Shack. Over the years, it's had a few different locations. Today, there are two, one in South Nashville and one in a food hall downtown near the Country Music Hall of Fame. When I went a few years ago, before COVID, I visited a location that's now closed. It was in a strip mall on the east side of Nashville, near a gas station and a Pizza Hut. From the outside, you'd never guess you were looking at a restaurant that the James Beard Foundation has recognized as an American classic. Inside, the wooden booths were decades old. A lot of people refer to them as pews. The hot chicken itself is served in a slice of white bread with sliced pickles on top. And everyone knows it's insanely spicy. Even the mild is too spicy for some folks. When I visited, I sat down with Andre Prince Jeffries. Thornton Prince was her great uncle. Her parents ran the place before her. Now she's been in charge for 40 years. How much hot chicken do you eat these days?
No, I eat a piece every day just to test it. But the way I test it mainly is to let it sit overnight because that's how I grew up. It was always a late night place, and my father would bring it home on Saturday nights. And when we'd get up on Sunday mornings, ready to go to Sunday school and have our breakfast, I'd see this greasy bag sitting on the stove. So I like it when it's kind of sat a while, and those flavors had kind of saturated it. And that's when I know it's right. So I let my chicken sit a while. And that's when I eat it.
What's your strategy with the white bread? Do you eat that before or after? How do you like?
I don't know.
What role does the white bread?
I sop that bread in that grease.
Some people
just come in just for the bread. Dip the bread, and they buy just the bread soaked. That bread has those good sauces saturated in it. You can't beat it.
Andre didn't spend a lot of time in the restaurant as a kid. Like she said, it was only open later at night. But she does remember one time her dad brought her in there during the day when it was closed. She was 10 or 11. This was during segregation.
And he took us to a room outside the kitchen. And I said, "What is this room for?" And he said, "This is for the white folks." Oh, what? So the blacks ate in the front and the whites ate in the back. They had a special door. This is the secret of Nashville. They didn't talk about it. They just kind of took it for granted. The Grand Ole Opry people, long time ago, hey, when they come out of that Grand Ole Opry downtown, they beat that door down, getting in that back door, right. In that back room,
right.
In that secret room.
Yeah. In the years after segregation, the restaurant moved and the layout changed. White customers no longer sat in the back. But the place remained more of a secret in Nashville's white community, while it was well known in the black community. In 1980, Andre took over the business. At the time, she was 34, recently divorced, two kids, and working a government job.
My mother and father were the ones that were helping me along after my divorce, helping me pay my bills and so forth and so on. And I guess they were thinking of the future because at the time my mother was ill in the hospital and she had been in the hospital with breast cancer. But before she passed, that was her suggestion that I take over.
Did you think at that time that you did you have plans or aspirations, or did you think this was going to be your life's work?
I had no idea. I had no idea. I'm just trying to pay a bill.
Right.
Pay a bill. And of course, my eyes were big and never, you know, being in real business like when I'm still not crossing all the T's, not dotting all the I's. But I have learned as I've gone.
What are some of the most valuable lessons you've learned running the business over these years?
Persistence and patience. Don't take criticism personally. Just appreciate it, adjust, and move on.
And you made some pretty, what turned out to be savvy business decisions in your early days.
Oh, I don't know. I've had plenty of help. No way I could do anything,
right.
Anything by myself.
Now, I know before you took over, it was called the Barbecue Chicken Shack.
Yes, that's another thing that I did was change the name to Prince. The Prince is the family name. People think I'm calling myself Royal, but Prince is our family name.
Andre says she never understood why the place was called Barbecue Chicken Shack, since they didn't serve barbecue chicken. She changed the name to Prince's Hot Chicken Shack. So she was the first to start calling it Hot Chicken. And by putting her family's name on the door, she made sure everyone knew who invented it. Those decisions proved to be strokes of branding genius. Andre also added different spice levels. Before, you could only get it one way. And she opened the restaurant during the day instead of just at night. That created a lunch business, which brought in families, office workers, and one local politician who would prove instrumental in spreading the hot chicken gospel.
I will give due to former Mayor Bill Purcell, who really took the lid off the box. He's been eating it he was eating it before I took over. He's the one that started Hot Chicken Festival.
Later in the show, we'll talk with Mayor Purcell. That first Nashville Hot Chicken Festival was back in 2007, and that was the spark. These days, hot chicken is popping up on menus across the country. Like I said, even KFC is serving it. And Andre has customers like Anthony Bourdain, Guy Fieri, Kid Rock, Jay-Z, Beyonce, and some others that I found even more surprising.
The KKK come in, but all money's green. It doesn't matter.
Were they in their robes?
Oh, they had the caps on, seeing. Had the little signature on the caps, KKK. And they said that's who called me. They were coming out of Kentucky where they, you know, they had their meeting. So, and then they came back the next day. Hey. You just take the money. Hey, I got bills to pay. I don't care. What'd you believe?
When those guys first walked in, what were you thinking?
Yeah, am I dreaming? But hey, no big thing. They got to eat, too. They're hungry.
Is it me, or is there, like, a great irony in these Klan members patronizing a black-owned business?
Oh, they've always been there. You know, we've always been in the kitchen. So they come where the food is. You know, they don't care.
The complicated racial dynamics of Prince's don't end there. As Hot Chicken has taken off, a lot of new places have opened up to try to capitalize on the trend. A lot of them are owned by white folks and have big money behind them. The best known is Hattie B's. It's a sleek, fast casual place with four locations in Nashville, all in or near downtown. There are also locations in Birmingham, Memphis, Atlanta, even Vegas. A 2016 profile of their owner on the website Food Republic was titled, "Meet the Man Who Launched the Nashville Hot Chicken Craze." It said, "Hattie B's has made hot chicken cool." That sparked a controversy. A response in the newspaper Nashville Scene said, "Let's be honest. When you have a chicken dish that a quarter of the city has loved for almost a century, and the rest of the city comes to love when they learn about it, it's racism that kept most white people from knowing about hot chicken, because white people didn't go into black neighborhoods. When the black people who have the decades-long experience in making hot chicken don't grow rich off it, but the white kid who got to go to culinary school does, it's not because his hot chicken tastes better. It's that it's still really hard for black people to go to culinary school or to get the bank loans that would let them expand their businesses into neighborhoods white people will visit." The piece continues, "No one should begrudge Hattie B's their success. The food's great, the locations are great, but for them to fail to acknowledge the fundamental reason Hattie B's is more successful than the older hot chicken joints just feeds into the same old racist dishonesty." Coming up, I'll ask Andre and the customers at Prince's what they think of that. And it turns out, the issue is not quite so straightforward. Stick around.
Ooh, advertisements.
Yummy.
The weather's warming up. Have you nailed down your summer travel plans yet? I can tell you, we're working on ours and things are booking up, which is why you should be thinking about Norwegian Cruise Line. They have been raising the standards of cruising for more than 55 years. Let me tell you, when you cruise with NCL, you get award-winning specialty restaurants, immersive entertainment, and the most thrilling experiences at sea. Now look, one of the great things about cruises in general is that you can visit and explore all kinds of different destinations, all with the ease of unpacking your bag just once. But Norwegian Cruise Line, they take cruising to another level, and they take food to another level. With no set dining and entertainment times and no formal dress codes, you have the flexibility to design your ideal vacation. They have an incredible variety of truly authentic and fresh dining and bar experiences complemented by exceptional service. Listen to this. There are up to 8 complimentary and 9 specialty dining options per ship and up to 23 bar and lounge options. Come see why NCL's guest first philosophy means exceptional service and unforgettable memories. Book your next vacation at ncl.com. A few years back, my friend Justin Warner from Food Network moved out to South Dakota. He opened a ramen joint, and he is always posting pictures of all the great food he's not only cooking, but eating all over South Dakota. He's always telling me to come visit. And you know, one of the best ways to experience a new place is to eat your way through it. But it's equally important to live your way through it, too. And when you summer in South Dakota, you can fill up on all the lake days, hikes, rides, and small-town strolls that'll leave you with a regained sense of wonder and a hunger to do it all over again. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com. At Boar's Head, delicious is in the details. And you see that in their incredible selection of hummus flavors. Boar's Head hummus is expertly crafted to achieve the perfect balance of creamy texture and refined taste. You can taste those chickpeas. You can taste the tahini. You can taste a little bit of acidity. It's got it all. I especially love their roasted red pepper hummus made with fire-roasted peppers. You can even taste a little bit of that char. It's perfectly dippable. It's perfectly spreadable. This is the kind of thing you always want to have on hand in your refrigerator. Dip, scoop, spread, or smear Boar's Head hummus to your heart's content. Hummus so extraordinary, it can only be Boar's Head. Compromise elsewhere. Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman. Last week on the show, I talked with Padma Lakshmi, host and executive producer of Top Chef and the Hulu series Taste the Nation. The world's changed a lot since I first had her on the show 5 years ago, and so has Padma. She's now more outspoken about a range of issues, including the way women on TV are expected to look.
I can't single-handedly take down the patriarchy. I wish I could, and I'm trying, but you know, I can't. I still have to work within the system if I want a job in television. Today, I have more power, not only with Hulu, but even on Top Chef, because I'm an executive producer. I have proved my worth, and times have changed. And so, you know, hopefully everybody's changing with them, or they will be left behind.
Padma also talks about the complicated nature of assimilation and why her show Taste the Nation almost didn't get made. That one's up now. Check it out. Now back to Prince's Hot Chicken in Nashville. As I sat with Andre Prince Jeffries, we discussed what I should order.
Now, I know you're not going to have it hot.
Oh, no, I'm not going to have it hot. I like some spice.
You think you can take a medium?
Well, I'm debating between mild and medium.
Well, if you're not used to spicy food, you start with a mild. But if you're used to something spicy, then go to medium. Medium is pretty hot. Now, like I say, I don't go past mild.
Maybe I'll get one small bit of mild and one small bit of medium.
Okay.
What do you think of that strategy?
That'll work.
While I waited for the food, I talked with Andre about hot chicken's newfound popularity. Since, you know, there's been this huge explosion called the hot chicken boom over the last 10 years.
That's right, over the last 10 years.
Yeah. How has that affected your business?
Well, it's increased. It's helped me. It has caught on so all of a sudden, like, we've been here all along, so what's the big deal?
When you see other restaurants that have come, just sort of picked up on hot chicken in the last few years, expanding and growing, they're going into other cities. Some of them are getting a lot of investment dollars. And even though you guys are doing well, they're also doing really well.
Well, it could have been me, but I was just like taking things slow. My purpose was to try to keep something in the family. Mom and pop places are disappearing so fast. Big business is taking over, and big business can always get those big loans, whereas mom and pop places can't. The banks are not going to give us the money. They don't trust us with the money. So, hey, that's how it works, but something ought to stay just small and keep it local, you know? But I've had offers all over the world to come, open up this and open up that, but you gotta know what you're doing. If you don't, hey, you signed your life away. So you can tell I'm not money crazy, because otherwise I would have been taking all kind of offers as I have had. Some I regret I hadn't taken. but anyway.
Can you give me a rough idea? Like, what was one of the offers that you might regret?
To come to Dubai was one of them. And, of course...
Open a restaurant there.
Yeah. And New York, several times in New York.
How much money are they offering you?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, I probably wouldn't have to work anymore. I probably wouldn't have to come down here anymore. I could probably be like Colonel Sanders and never be seen. I enjoy the people. I enjoy the closeness and the intimacy of my customers. And they keep me going.
Why did you decide not to take any of those offers?
My age. And some things you just wish would never change.
You know, you talked about how the idea that big business, you know, these...
of course.
They're going to have advantages. They're going to be able to get big loans, like you say.
Right.
There are some people who would say that the other advantage that some of the newer hot chicken places have that allows them to get more funding is that they're owned and run by white people.
Well, that's true. You have to admit, racism still exists. Close your eyes if you want to, but it's still there when you open your eyes. That's no secret. That is no secret. Because sometimes I wonder, you know, if I were a different color, where would I be?
If it happens in the next few years that one of the other places that sprung up more recently, whether it's Hattie B's or one of the other ones, if 5 or 10 years from now, Hattie B's is worth $100 million and they get restaurants all over the country, how would you feel about that?
I mean, that's Hattie B's. That's Hattie B's. Like I say, they got the money. You can't be jealous of that, but you know who you are. And you stand up on it.
Chicken came, and right away you notice the look of it. It has a dark reddish-brown color to it because of all the hot sauce. And I saw what people were saying about the white bread, how it soaks in all that chicken juice and fat and hot sauce flavor. I ended up asking for extra white bread and extra pickles and then pulling the meat off the bone and putting it on the white bread with some pickles and then folding it up and eating it sort of like a taco. And this was a spice I had not experienced before. The recipe is a secret. It's clearly got a lot of cayenne, but beyond that, who knows? But it's not just hot sauce spicy. It's not just spicy on your tongue. This heat hits you deep. Andre's daughter, Ye, came back to check on me. So for this part of the interview, I may be coughing and stopping to drink water a little bit.
Understand.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
And intense. In a very good way. You can see that I completely destroyed the mild.
You annihilated.
Yeah.
Definitely.
The medium I struggled with.
I just had mild myself, so definitely that's more than enough for me.
So who the hell orders extra, extra hot?
There are usually women get the extra, extra hot.
I have to say, I didn't realize quite how amazing this hot chicken was until like hours later. Even as it was burning a hole in my stomach, I found myself craving it like crazy. You know, I've read about how spicy food can cause your brain to release endorphins and dopamine to basically make you feel high. But this was the first time in my life I felt like I had experienced such an intense hot food high that I was suffering withdrawal. I had some leftovers stored in the fridge in my hotel room. Later that night, I was at an event at the hotel, and I actually left the event where they were serving dinner, by the way, to go up to my room to eat more hot chicken. Then I went back down to the event. The next day, I went back to Prince's for more, and I talked to some customers. At both my visits, the crowd there was about 50-50 black-white, maybe 60% black at some points. And at least on this particular weekend, most of the black folks I talked with grew up in Nashville and have been coming to Prince's for a long time. The white folks were more recent transplants or tourists. When did you first hear of Nashville hot chicken?
For me, like an hour ago in the car.
And for you?
It was in the tour book.
And so you ended up here at Prince's because it's in the tour book.
Yeah, it's a recommended place to go.
I talked to one woman there named Carlotta. She's black, born and raised in Nashville. She comes to Prince's most Friday nights.
Nashville has a lot of different hot chicken places, but to me, nothing compares to Prince's.
Some of the restaurants that have had a lot of money pumped into them and that are doing real well now off of the hot chicken concept.
Right.
Are also owned by white people.
Okay.
You know, and there's been some tension around that issue. You know, what do you make of that?
Well, to be honest, I haven't heard anything about it, but I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to be nice about it. We know how to cook some good chicken. But, you know, of course, the food business, everybody's always in competition with the food business because, to be honest with you, it's not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
People got to eat.
Everybody got to eat. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, it's a big topic right now in the world of food, cultural appropriation.
Right.
And especially when you have a food that originates with people of color and then white folks come
right.
along and start making all the money.
Right.
But I feel like in this case, it's a little more complicated because there's this big hot chicken boom happening. But Prince's is benefiting.
Right, right.
They are getting credit. They
right.
are getting more money. Their
right.
business, so it's like, it's not like they're just getting
right.
steamrolled.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see, you know, like Hattie B's as
oh,
a place.
Well, let me tell you, because I do like me some Hattie B's.
Okay.
I will say that. Now, other than this place, Hattie B's will be the only other place I will go to get some hot chicken.
Okay.
And for me, it's not like a black or a white thing. It's not. As long as the food is good and delicious and at an affordable price, they're going to always stay in business, you know?
Before I could leave Prince's, there was another pivotal figure in the hot chicken story that I had to meet. Bill Purcell grew up in the Philly area. He came to Nashville to go to law school at Vanderbilt, and he never left. In the 80s, he got into state government, which is when he fell in love with hot chicken. After that, he was mayor of Nashville for two terms. In 2007, he helped create the first Nashville Hot Chicken Festival, which, like I said, sparked the boom. But even before that, he and Andre clearly formed a bond.
He came and not only just ate the chicken, but he used to come in here and answer the phone. He was so personable.
Right.
And take the call-in orders and write them down for us. That's his purpose.
Yeah.
That's his purpose for here. Here on this earth to help Andre. Yeah.
that's a perfect thing to say. I think we should call the pallbearers in right now.
Oh, you're the best. You're the best.
Andre sat with us as I talked with Mayor Purcell about the first time he ate hot chicken.
I think it's very much the same for everyone. You have some thought that this is different. Obviously, there's another word in the title. It appears to be different because it's darker and spicier and unlike any other fried chicken or chicken you've seen. And really, the first bite told me that this was transformative and that I would never be the same.
He saw the light.
I did. Well, I saw all kind of light. I knew it was for me, and ultimately I decided it was for everybody.
What spice level do you like your chicken at?
Well, it goes without saying, this is a hot chicken shack.
That's right.
And so I have hot chicken here. I don't have mild or medium. If you wanted medium, you could look for a medium chicken shack. I don't know of one. But I have what has made this place and this city so special. That's the hot chicken. I don't recommend the extra hot.
And what's your strategy, Mr. Mayor? You pick it up and eat it? How do you incorporate the white bread? How do you approach the hot chicken?
I sort of work my way through it. The chicken is on top. I eat the chicken. I consider the bread to be almost like dessert.
Mr. Mayor, were you a spicy food fan before moving to Nashville?
No, I wouldn't say so. It was Prince's that introduced me to this kind of heat.
Wait, so you went from not having really any taste for spicy food to eating it hot here?
Yes. Yes.
Are your taste buds okay?
Consistently. I think
are they functional?
I think they're dead.
My taste buds are just fine. Thank you. It didn't occur to me to eat anything else. It's a hot chicken shack. You're coming to a place that specializes in hot chicken, and you have hot chicken. It would sort of be like asking for... if you want to have a cheesesteak and saying no cheese, or I want to have a cheesesteak and just cheese, no steak. I mean, this is a hot chicken shack.
So are you telling me that if someone doesn't order it hot, that they're not really having hot chicken? Are you going to say that right now in front of Andre?
No, I'm going to eat my chicken.
Mr. Mayor, tell me about the first time that you considered this idea of a festival. Tell me about the inspiration for that.
Well, the inspiration really came from Nashville. We were in the process of beginning the planning for the celebration of our 200th anniversary as a city. It wasn't really that hard to realize that a celebration that included the whole city had to be around the one indigenous food that came from Nashville, that is Nashville. So that's now 11 years ago, and every year the crowds have grown. Every year the vendors and the hot chicken gets better, too.
And, Mr. Mayor, since the beginning of that festival and the what I'll call the Nashville hot chicken boom, clearly, and I've learned from talking to Andre, it's benefited her family and her business a lot, and that's great to see. But I do wonder, like, there's also other businesses that have sprung up, that have kind of jumped onto the trend, and that may have benefited from the boom more. And maybe part of that is because Andre has chosen to keep her business small and local, and that's what she wants. But I wonder if it concerns you that the spoils from the boom be distributed equitably.
And it's a very interesting question, obviously, whenever the nation discovers something that it really didn't understand or know about before, and what that means, especially for the originator. In this case, the good news is that Prince's is full. It's going to be full again next week. And I think in this case, Andre and her family and Prince's Hot Chicken Shack have continued to be not just celebrated, but also benefited by the recognition. So In this case, I think you have a great example of where the original has remained not only the best, but the center of it all.
One note to add, we did reach out to Hattie B's, but they declined our request for an interview. Next week on the show, I talk with actor Stanley Tucci, famous for his roles in classic food movies Big Night and Julie and Julia. Also famous for being the hot guy making Negronis on Instagram during COVID. He has a new, very food-centric memoir out. We'll talk about the famous food scenes in Big Night and how his battle with oral cancer changed his relationship with food. That's next week. While you wait for that, listen to last week's show with Padma Lakshmi. And please make sure you subscribe to our show in Apple Podcasts or favorite us in Spotify or Stitcher. Connect with our show, and that way you won't miss episodes. Thanks. This episode was originally produced by me and Anne Sani with editing help from Dan Charles. These days, our senior producer is Emma Morgenstern. Our producer is Andres O'Hara. Casey Holford mixed this episode. Music help from Black Label Music. The Sporkful is a production of Stitcher. Our executive producers are Daisy Rosario and Peter Clowney. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
This is Whitney Vaughn from Fort Worth, Texas, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.